What we've done is we've pulled together pieces that tell a story about the time period, King Kalakaua's reign, and the creative dynamism that existed under his leadership.
And so what will people be able to see when they come to this exhibit?
When they come here, they will see photographs that they've never seen before. They will see paintings that he commissioned for his 50th birthday. They will see feather work that has traveled around the world. They will see royal orders that have been gifted to and from our ali'i.
And so tell us, what's so significant about this era?
It was a time period that, despite all obstacles and challenges, flourished. Artwork and creativity and the circulation of ideas were thriving in the Hawaiian kingdom. And under King Kalakaua and Queen Kapiolani, people were encouraged to create and to share their thoughts and ideas. And that wasn't always the norm around the world at that time.
And they traveled extensively. I mean, it really was quite remarkable.
King Kalakaua embarked on a world tour in 1881, and then in 1887, Queen Kapiolani and then Crown Princess Liliuokalani went to London via the United States. Interestingly, Queen Kapiolani, you know, as she traveled to the United States, the newspapers would write about the gowns that she was wearing, and they would also describe her in many cases as the first queen to visit their city. So, you know, newspapers in Chicago talk about Queen Kapiolani, the first queen from another country to visit. People would request that she wear certain things because they'd heard about her beautiful gowns. And, you know, they talk about her reception in Washington, D.C. with President Grover Cleveland. Of course, King Kalakaua, interestingly enough, you know, after starting this research, my friends and colleagues started to come across things and would forward these articles to me. And sure enough, just a couple of weeks ago, I was forwarded an article about King Kalakaua, and the title of the newspaper was Brilliant Beyond Precedent. And so, you know, it isn't just our time that reflects upon the Kalakaua era and sees a brilliant mind at work, but even during his lifetime, other countries were acknowledging his contribution.
Do you have a favorite piece? Since it's taken you a while to kind of go through the inventory of what's available and what you were able to curate.
I really love the photography in the exhibition, and I think I'm moved especially knowing how Kalakaua was leveraging it to position Hawaii within the international consciousness of the world. And if you ask me tomorrow, I'll say the featherwork.
Okay.
And if you ask me the day after, I'll say the Joseph Strong painting.
And so you have some actually very large paintings in there.
So those were commissioned by King Kalakaua, and they're created by an artist named Joseph D. Strong. He was actually the court photographer. He ended up painting these two murals. They're large-scale works. They're both Honolulu Harbor, but one is set in 1836, the other is set in 1886, the year of Kalakaua's birth, the year of his 50th jubilee. So they were painted in 1886, and what you see is a contrast between a quiet harbor, by comparison, to what is in 1886, depicting Hawaii, Honolulu Harbor, as the center of commerce within the Pacific. And so the artist and his approach, I mean, his brushstrokes, the paint application, everything is hustle bustle. And the subject matter is, of course, you know, an active shoreline, a harbor that is robust with many structures. And you can see Iolani Palace, you can see Ali'iolani Hale, and numerous other structures that can still be identified.
I've seen some of the gowns of that period. They're very striking.
Oh, yeah, they're fabulous. So Queen Kapiolani is known for especially the peacock gown, right? So she goes to London to participate in the Queen's Jubilee, Queen Victoria's Jubilee, and she has a blue gown that was designed by a New York designer, B. Altman, but then also modified by a Hawaiian designer, Lono McGuire, who compiled these peacock feathers into beautiful panels that drape down the front, the back, mark the trimming of the train of the dress and also the bodice. And it was really a way of combining many different aesthetics, but also maintaining a relationship connection with the Hawaiian symbols, the feathers, and the, you know, the relationship to the ali'i. You know, King Kalakaua was not the first king to participate in the World Fair as a country on behalf of Hawaii, but he was the first to really leverage it and to maximize it. And so under his leadership, under his governance, Hawaii participates in more World Fairs than ever. And although we often think about, you know, art fairs as contemporary art experiences today, they were, in the past, they were platforms for countries to demonstrate competence, wealth, success, and, you know, Hawaii used that as a way of positioning itself on the international stage. And what I love is that it was a combination of all things. So when you come in to the exhibition, you will see a painting by Joseph Nawahi. It is thought that one of the only very few of his works traveled around the world, the one that we have on view, might be one of them. And in combination with a painting by Nawahi is, you know, we know that the Ipu Aina also traveled. We know that Ahu'ula also traveled. And so it wasn't this either or, but rather this inclusion of many different types of materials and lots of different kinds of artworks as a way to display Hawaii's incredible cosmopolitanism, diversity, and success as a country, as an independent country. And so oftentimes what were included in these art fairs were also maps, books, and it was a way for Hawaii to be able to demonstrate a competent administrative leadership and then also, you know, bilingual capabilities, right? We were producing literature in multiple languages. And so all of that was just a platform to show Hawaii's intellectual and creative capacity. You know, one of the greatest aspects to this exhibition is really collaborating across institutions, and thankfully, they all saw the value in coming together and contributing what each organization could offer in terms of their collections, in terms of their staff time. And everybody prioritized it and saw the value in what the community could appreciate in having an exhibition like this. So the featherwork came from the Honolulu Museum of Art and also from Bishop. And those featherwork pieces, like Queen Kapiolani's riding cape, is not to be missed. The photography also came from Bishop Museum Archives. Incredible. Most of those photographs have never been, the originals have never been displayed before, which is great. Iolani Palace. So if you look at the photographs of Queen Liliuokalani and Queen Kapiolani as they were traveling, you'll notice in those photographs, they're adorned in particular accessories, and Iolani Palace lent the beautiful diamond-encrusted butterfly pin that belonged to the then Crown Princess Liliuokalani, Queen Kapiolani's necklace. The organizations loaned royal orders. I mean, that was a huge undertaking. And mission houses, they lent the Nawahi painting. And Hawaii State Archives lent those two large murals by Joseph Strong that we were talking about. They also lent an incredible uniform that was worn by Mortimer Gibson. I would just like to say thank you to all of the organizations who did come together to be able to execute an exhibition like this, and that, you know, we did it sincerely for the community, who we know are very passionate about our ali'i, and to tell a story that has been underheard.
That was Honolulu Museum of Art curator Healoha Johnson talking about the King Kalakaua exhibit, which opened this weekend and runs through January 27th.